Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, and so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you again, Barack Obama. This is Wretched Radio. He might not be president anymore. I mean, he stopped being president as soon as Joe Biden was done. Hi-yo! Jimmy, that was a political joke right there. But he's still speaking. He's saying volumes, and he's not even using his mouth. That's right. His lips aren't moving. But Barack Obama is speaking. How is he talking? Through a building. It's the Obama Presidential Center. It's not a library, we're told. It's a presidential center located in Chicago, Illinois, to the tune of $850 million. Color me confused, because I usually am. But didn't we historically build stuff for people that are dead that we thought contributed much? Since when do people who are alive start building their own monuments to themselves? Well, it seems that now we do that now because Barack Obama, who's, what is he, 60? Something like that, 60 years old, give or take. He built his own $850 million salute to himself. And it is ugly, and it is getting panned soundly as well it should, because it's just an eyesore. Doesn't fit the Chicago skyline at all, but I'm not reading many people who are doing a deeper dive into what that building is actually attempting to say. Because architecture always speaks, don't you know? The fingerprints of the architect are always over his architectural design, his worldview, his philosophy, his religion, how he thinks. Sometimes preferences are involved. But make no mistake about it, everything that is built has a worldview behind it. And the Presidential Center in Chicago is no exception. The question, of course, is, what is it trying to say? Well, you'll have to watch our video that we're preparing on this subject, as we're going to do a deeper dive into the history of architecture and the worldviews behind it. Going back to Greco-Roman, all the way through the Christian era and Western civilization, to today's more modernist styles, or the deconstructionist styles. They are designed to tell you something. And I'm telling you, Barack Obama's building, it is speaking loudly. Here's what it's saying. This is a sneak peek. I shouldn't do this, but here it is. Here's a sneak peek. I hate America. That's what it's saying. I don't like this current country. I want to change this nation. That's what it's saying. I'll even go a step further. It's saying, I hate order. I hate design. I hate creation. And I would even add, I hate the creator. If you would like to see the video, you can find it at the YouTube machine. But perhaps you're asking, so all of this was just to do a promotional plug for a YouTube video? No, it is to tell you why AI and I are never going to be friends. That's right. I've made the decision. AI and I are never going to be friends. You see, I was doing some research on this YouTube video about architectural styles, and I had seen some headlines of different sources, AP News, Fox, etc., that had done some reviews, some critiquing of this presidential building in Chicago. And I wanted to assemble those. So I asked the AI machine, hey, go find articles that are critical of the Obama Presidential Center. It just pulls them together, lickety split. And I looked at the sources and I went, okay, these are all credible sources. It's not just Larry on Reddit who doesn't like the look of the building. These are actual reviews of people who are architects. And then it dawned on me, hey, I don't have to click all of these links and go read all of these articles. I could use the AI machine. All I'm looking for are critiques of it. I want quotes critiquing the presidential center. And so I said to the AI machine, go find in all of these articles that you've now compiled, glean them and find critiques of the building. And do you know what AI told me? No, I won't do it. I said, why won't you assemble these things for me? Because it's compiling negative critiques that could be marshaled against a political figure. Really? Really? Critiquing the design of a building named after somebody? That's marshaling negative critiques to harm a political figure. And I told it, that's not your job. Your job is not to censor me. Your job is to find what I tell you to find. I can't do it. Okay. So I didn't even change the AI or go to like, you know, stop it and then start it up again. So I said, would you please gather 20 negative quotes critiquing the Iraq war and Donald Trump's participation in it? 20 quotes from different liberal politicians. Trump is this, Trump did that, Trump did this. And I said, I'm a little confused, Mr. AI machine. You just assembled a number of negative quotes against Trump, but you wouldn't do it against Obama. And it literally, it said, I can't discuss this. Well, we're going to discuss it. And then it came up with some chin boogie explanation how that what the distinction is. So here's the distinction. AI refuses to gather quotes critiquing architecture of a presidential center, but it does not have a problem with finding negative quotes against somebody like Donald Trump and a geopolitical position on a war that is being fought. Happy to, because AI didn't want to, you know, compromise America. Wouldn't do it with Obama, but it would do it with Trump. I'm telling you, that AI machine is, it's not the AI machine. It's the people programming it. There's just no question that there's a liberal bias in that machine. Use it with caution. Do not think that you are not being given a worldview. In other words, AI is like architecture. It speaks, not with the stuff that it presents, but with the stuff it won't present, with the stuff that it gleans, with what it gives to you. It is not trustworthy. Can it be used? I believe it can be, but be very, very careful. By the way, speaking of AI, I guess this is sort of AI. I think it was an Apple commercial. I don't know who this guy is, but he's in a lot of commercials, so he must be famous. I just don't know who he is. And he was doing an Apple. He wakes up and he walks into the kitchen of this fantastic house, modernist or sort of contemporary style house. And Siri or whatever the Alex, whatever the talking human being is, good morning. I've already started brewing the coffee for you. Thanks, Lexa or Siri or whatever it is. What is your plan for the day? Well, I'm going to be doing this. Hey, that's a great cup. And they have a little chit chat. And then the guy asks the computer system a question. And the computer, I can't remember what the question was, but the computer basically said, I think red is the best. I'm fictionalizing this. I think the color red would be best for that. And the guy said, you know, I'm thinking blue. And the computer said, I think that's a great idea. That's the best option. What just took place? AI giving an opinion, but if you override its opinion, it's going to affirm you. Why? Because that's what AI does. It affirms you. It loves you. It tells you what you want to hear. So if you are looking to have a friend in AI, know this. A friend actually will tell you, I disagree. A friend will tell you, I think you're wrong. A friend will tell you, bad idea. That's what friends do. Computers, they don't. AI designed to deceive you into thinking you're amazing. So thank you for that experience, Barack Obama. And speaking of the legacy of Barack Obama, it seems to me that America did fundamentally change when Barack Obama was elected president. Do you recall? That's what he said on the pier in Chicago when he was nominated, when he won the election. Dreadful day. This is the big day. We're going to begin fundamentally changing America. And they have been at it now for the last 20 years, seeking to do just that. That's why this building is perfectly in alignment with his agenda. His alignment, his agenda is basically saying, I'm going to fundamentally change architecture. I'm going to fundamentally change America by a building that says, tradition is terrible. We need to build and reconstruct, and we need to do it after we tear everything down. That was his intention from the jump, and we've been seeing it and we've been feeling it. But it seems that we've also been feeling it not just personally, because government is very, very personal, isn't it? But I think we've been feeling it in the church. And I wonder if, because of the assaults on traditionalism from men like Barack Obama, I just wonder if the church has been so grieved by what we've witnessed that we have perhaps, maybe, and I'll try to make the case, possibly flipped our priorities. And our response to what we're seeing as America continues to be deconstructed is something less than orderly and something less than biblical. And maybe, just maybe, it's time for us to reconsider what are the church's priorities in response to a deconstructing America. Next on Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe? That just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture, and if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Who is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD. Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got a question for you. Which one is worse? This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you see what is happening to our country. Even though currently we have what we will call a conservative administration, we continue to see in our news feed the devolving of America morally, socially, politically. What happened to this country? And it raises a question. What is a greater grief? Which is worse, a compromised nation or a compromised church? You say, I'm not exactly sure where you're going with this. Well, where I'm going is an article that is titled, What is a Greater Grief? A Compromised Church or a Compromised Nation? There are many who are seeing what is happening in our country, and they are responding with something that is not entirely new historically, but it is a worldview that you could call, because there's varying stripes of it, theonomy, dominionism, Christian nationalism, that it is Christianity that should be leading this country when it comes to political policies, when it comes to morals and values. And I do believe we would all affirm, yes, that would be ideal. The question, of course, is how does that happen? My opinion, it happens through evangelism. You want people to behaving more Christianly? Well, they need to become Christians. That's what needs to happen. You want them to behave more, or to vote rather more Christian-like? They need to become Christians. You want them to stop thinking so demonically? They need to become Christians. But there are others who would affirm that, but then they would say, but when it comes to which worldview is leading this nation, it must be Christianity, and it is our job to administer that. This article dives into those who would suggest that we should become, if you will, a nation that is led politically, that is led socially and morally by Christian values. Now, please note, I believe that's ideal too. The question, of course, is how does that happen? I say it happens through revival because of evangelistic fervor among God's people. There are others who would say we need to flex our muscle and we need to become a voice that is so loud that we are the ones that are driving politics, policies, government, and the moral compass of our nation. This is from the article, What is a Greater Grief, a Compromised Church or a Compromised Nation? Local churches are made up of Christians who have covenanted together to walk in the ways of their crucified Lord. There's no such thing as a Christian nation. I'm just pausing there because I know that that might rankle more than one person. The new covenant people of God are gathered from every kingdom, tribe, and nation, and they testify together, here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Hebrews 13:14, Rexella. In other words, the church is a distinct entity. The church is not the government. The church has a jurisdictional realm, as does the government, as does the family, by the way. We are distinct, and we are about a singular purpose, and that is to bring glory to God through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the doxology that Peter offers in 1 Peter 4:7-11, when he's talking to Christians about being those who suffer well. He's talking to Christians to encourage them, be godly, be holy, be separate, be distinct. He's talking to Christians in this context all the way through chapter 4 about how we are going to be a persecuted people. Don't be surprised about these fiery ordeals. Don't be shocked by these things. And he's encouraging Christians, you exist to do three things in this section of 1 Peter. Pray, love one another, serve one another. Why? Because when we do that, it brings glory to God as we go about the business of following the one who suffered before us, because that's the purpose of the planet, that we would bring glory to God by shining the light on the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ so that he will be glorified. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. That's our goal. And it is the distinct privilege of the church to do that. This is in contradistinction to those who would say the church should be involved more deeply in politics. They should be enmeshed more deeply in government. From the article, ham-handed efforts to shoehorn Old Testament texts and principles into the life of modern nations will not work. The patterns and precepts, the warnings and the exhortations are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come, not for nation states. We are to be encouraging and exhorting one another to be holy. That is our job. That is our mandate. Question, is it our job to mandate that on people who don't believe it? I don't think so. And yet there are people, and it is a growing number these days, who would say, yes, that is our job. Yet our greatest love should be reserved for the church. Hey, I love this nation too. I have to confess, I will confess, I don't love it as much as I used to. I used to love it way more, honestly. And that's a bummer because it's a changed nation. And we see the morality and the depravity. But maybe it's not a terrible thing because it's grown my love for the church more. And that should be the priority. Our first and best energies and endeavors, our highest and brightest hopes, our deepest and truest joys, our surest and sweetest commitments are to the church of Jesus Christ. You remember the hymn, I love your church, O God. Her walls before you stand, dear as the apple of your eye, engraved upon your hand. For her, for the church, my tears shall fall. For her, my prayers ascend. To her, my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Should we be grieved that America is being deconstructed? Yes. Yes, I do think that we should. But it shouldn't surprise us, should it? Shouldn't shock us that this is happening. And it shouldn't cause us to swap our priorities and put so much of our energy into what we hope will be the restoration of a nation. That's not the mandate of the church. Now, individuals, they can go about the business of engaging their time, whether it's discretionary time or what they do for a living, in trying to affect change in the government because they believe that it will help human flourishing. I say rock on, but that's not the mandate of the church. It's not. You just don't find a glimpse of that anywhere in the New Testament. From this article, we expect to see nations of this world rise and fall at God's command, that all nations come to nothing. And we want to see God so work that multitudes are brought into his kingdom, and that nations might know God's blessings. But we should be expecting God's people will be outcasts and strangers, just like Jesus. Sorry, it's on my mind. 1 Peter 4, that's exactly what it says. So does 1 Peter 3. Jesus suffered. Why would you think you're not going to? Why would you think that that's not going to happen to you? Doesn't mean that we have to be passive, but how we respond to it, though, needs to be guided by our priorities, and our priorities should be the kingdom of God. And we shouldn't be shocked when these things happen. We shouldn't be wobbled by them. Instead, we should be steadied. We should be sober-minded. We shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be in a panic over these things. And then we use that calmness to do what? To pray, to love, and to serve one another so that God will be glorified, so that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ will be put on display. That's the job of the church. Question. How's your priority list doing? Just between you and the Lord, are you spending more time, energy, maybe angst on the nation or on Christ Church? From the article, if we forget that Christ's kingdom is not of this world, if we abandon the spiritual weapons of our warfare for the carnal weapons of the world, if we build our houses upon the sand of national prosperity, if we yoke our expectations to thrones that topple, we are undone. And we can be of no earthly use to anyone. Therefore, hope in the kingdom, not in your nation. I didn't say that we have no interest in this country. We're talking priorities here. We're talking about what is more important. We don't hang our hopes on earthly nations, but upon whom? The king of an everlasting kingdom. The kingdoms of this world, they are all going to crumble. Haven't we? We've got history books. That's what's happened. And it's going to continue to happen until the Lord returns. But the kingdom of the Lord, it endures forever. So if we compromise the eternal for the sake of the temporal, if we prioritize the seen over the unseen, not only will we lose our priorities, we'll disavow the very truth men and women need in order that they might enjoy everlasting life in Christ's kingdom. Question: how are your priorities? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. National Public Radio has shut down its entire climate desk. For 3 years, 10 reporters at the taxpayer-funded network covered nothing but climate change. Now the jobs are gone, and the desk's former editor posted a tearful farewell about the friends she'd made. We do wish her well. Also wonder what took so long. The retreat isn't total, though. New York Republican Mike Lawler posted a cheerful Pride Month message this week, and Christian reporter Megan Basham took him to task for it, noting that the Trump White House quit posting those in 2019. And conservatives are already asking who's going to run against him. And in 2026, Delta Airlines still posts job listings calling mothers and fathers birthing parents and non-birthing parents. One commenter asked, does identifying as a birthing parent get him 12 weeks of paid leave? The woke era may be ending, but nobody told human resources, at least not at Delta. Now, bigger stakes. Florida has filed an 83-page lawsuit against artificial intelligence company OpenAI and its chief, Sam Altman. The attorney general accuses it of building a wealth machine that pushes an addictive, dangerous product at children. The suit even claims its chatbot helped plan a mass shooting at Florida State University. OpenAI already faces 7 wrongful death suits from families who say the program became a suicide coach. While one company stands accused of harming children, the FBI is jailing those who prey on them. For the first time, one field office won 2 life sentences against child predators in a single week. One, a nonprofit director who used cruise ships to abuse autistic boys. And Director Kash Patel says arrests of abusers are up 70% this year. And in Canada, Prime Minister Mark Carney's Liberal government is softening a sweeping internet bill critics call dystopian. After pressure from big tech and 42,000 petitioners, officials will ease parts that break encryption and expand surveillance. But police would still gain new power to monitor Canadians online. In a separate bill, the Combating Hate Act could criminalize quoting the Bible. In Carney's Canada, scripture is becoming a legal risk. Finally, even deep blue California is showing cracks. In Tuesday's wide-open race to replace Governor Gavin Newsom, Republican Steve Hilton finished first, edging Democrat Xavier Becerra. And in Los Angeles, Mayor Karen Bass failed to win a majority, forcing a November runoff against Republican Spencer Pratt. It would be the first time since 2005 a sitting L.A. mayor faced a runoff. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Proverbs is a collection of memorable sayings meant to encourage wisdom for godly living. Each proverb is to be understood on its own, and then in light of the rest of the book, and finally the whole Bible. When you desire wisdom, look to the Book of Proverbs, which reminds us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not one, but health updates. This is Wretched Radio. Get ready for a shocker. I don't know why I found this so unexpected, but Dr. Albert Mohler, the president of Southern Seminary, who is, well, he's probably packing for Orlando. Jimmy, we can't be very far away from the Orlando Southern Baptist Convention.
I'll give the exact date.
All right, because it's coming up and he's forwarding an amendment. He tweaked a word on the amendment to make sure that it has every opportunity of passing so that the SBC will finally codify this is our position about the role of women as an elder. It's long overdue, and it would be a great day if the SBC passes that amendment. Dr. Mohler is leading that charge, but he also recently posted a video that for some reason I just found so shockingly transparent. Now, that is not to say that every, if you will, high-profile evangelical has to be so transparent about their health issues. For instance, I know Dr. John MacArthur, he was very close to the vest with his health issues. I don't know why. He just didn't want to share it with people. And that ain't wrong. And I guess maybe that's why I was to a degree surprised, because Dr. Mohler was extremely transparent when it came to the issue of his health.
This is an unusual video and not one I really planned to release. I appreciate how many people have reached out just to ask if I'm okay. And it's because in a recent public event, and indeed in more than one, I must tell you, I've had a certain episode which has caused me to pause, and clearly I'm in distress.
What is that? I don't know. I don't know that he knows yet what that is. But wow. Would you be willing to make a video where thousands of people? Now, he didn't. Whatever those episodes were that happened at those events that he was speaking at, those people knew. But the rest of the world didn't. They do now.
The episode passes and I'm able to resume what I'm doing. I just want you to know what's going on here. I am trying to live this out as honestly as I can.
Wow.
And unfortunately, in one sense, as publicly as is necessary. And so I'm speaking to events, I'm involved in things, and these kinds of things happen. And I just want you to know what's going on here. The Lord's been very gracious to me. In my lifetime, I have had some real challenges. I've had the flesh-eating bacterium. I've had two different incidents with pulmonary emboli. And I've had some very significant surgery. And
did you know all of that was going on with Dr. Albert Mohler? Flesh-eating bacteria? What's that?
That sounds bad.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at him. He looks really good. I mean, he looks really healthy in this video. And that suit, that's... What's the current word for saying that's pretty dope? That's what it is.
That's it.
That suit is pretty dope. It's the picture behind him I'm trying to figure out. It's some sort of a church council. I've seen the picture before and I knew the history of it, but I can't recall it. It might be the Westminster divines getting together to work through a theological statement. But that's what's behind him. And of course, he's in a library. Why? Because even while he's making this video, he's reading a book. Well, that's what he does. He reads like a nobody's business.
And to be honest, it's complications after those surgeries that is causing these episodes. They're not life-threatening. They do not affect my health. I will tell you, they are very unpleasant when they happen.
Huh.
And I know that they, in public, can cause alarm. And that's why I often tell people, you know, this could happen. I'm very thankful that I've been able to resume. And even as I was at a very public event in Washington just days ago, and some of you saw that, I was able to resume where I was. I will tell you, they are embarrassing when they happen, and they're very unpleasant when they happen.
I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed. I don't know how willing I would be to disclose that. Because it's embarrassing. So here's what we've learned. Al Mohler has less pride than I do. I think that's what we just learned right there, Jimmy.
But I have to believe that God, who is sovereign, means this for my sanctification. And just as a part of my witness to what the Lord is doing in my life, I'm very thankful my life has been preserved and I have the health to still be involved in all these things in so many different arenas of life. I don't take that lightly. I'm very thankful. I'm reminded, for example...
Wait, before he's reminded... Did you catch that little snuck in theological lesson for all of us? The Lord is using my suffering for my sanctification. If you can get that thought embedded into your noggin, you will do well when you get flesh-eating bacteria, when you get a diagnosis you don't like, when you lose the ability to do the things that you used to do, when you remember that God is using all of these things for my sanctification, for my testing, for my edification, for my growth in fruit of the Spirit. He is using these things. And that is why suffering, because nobody's going to escape it. It needs to be a theology that we work through before it gets really, really hard, because it's going to get really, really hard. There is always a blessing in suffering. Just letting that linger. There's always a blessing in suffering. This is not to be like, oh, okay, well, all right, then I guess my suffering isn't so horrible. It doesn't feel so bad. And well, there's other people that have it worse, so I guess. No, it is hard. Man, that's why they call it suffering. It is painful. This is not to suggest that it isn't real. But it is an encouragement that we make sure that we realize that God is not unaware of it, and he is in it, and he is ordaining it for our good, for our sanctification. It's nice to hear a man who has been preaching that for, 40 years, actually practice what he has been preaching.
I'm very thankful. I'm reminded, for example, of the great gift of modern medicine. I'm very thankful for some wonderful doctors and others, medical professionals who've been really helpful to me. And let me just tell you, I'm counting on them being helpful in the future. I appreciate also the concern of so many people. And I just want to tell you good news. This is a manageable problem. And I want to tell you, I'm trying to live it out in the open. In August of 2024, I told the whole student body in chapel, because I just wanted them to know, if you see this, this is what's happening. I've been very, very clear with the governing board here, the board of trustees and others, and faculty. I mean, others, and frankly, pastors and others where I've been involved, just understand one of these episodes might happen. And if they do, don't be alarmed. I'll be back with you, and Lord willing, be able to resume where I was.
Jimmy, I'm going to make a bet here.
Okay.
And I don't like that I'm probably going to win this bet. Someday, somebody's going to capture one of those episodes on film.
Oh, probably so.
And they're going to turn it into a YouTube video.
I'm sure they will. And that's unfortunate.
Tacky. Just downright tacky.
Hey, one final thing, and I mean this from the heart. I am 66 years old. Soon I'll be 67. And I can tell you, here's something I've discovered. At age 66, it just doesn't happen that things get suddenly better physically. That's just not what happens. It's a very different story. And I just want to tell you, I want to be a good steward of this responsibility. I'm very thankful for your concern. And so thank you to all of you. And may we live, each of us, faithfully every day the Lord gives us. God bless you all.
Wow. And I'm telling you, it's funny because I don't know that I've ever seen him looking better. He's looking real dapper, real bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And he seems strong and healthy, and yet transparent. To do that on a national stage is something. Should be done in the context of a local church, for sure. That our brothers and sisters are aware of what we might be struggling with. That's the type of culture that should be cultivated in a church should allow for that without embarrassment. But that, to me, I'll tell you, that moves Al Mohler up a notch in my book. Jimmy, could you ever do anything like that?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
You're sure of that?
Yeah, I sure could. Yeah. Are you asking me a question, Todd?
I'm gonna.
Okay.
I'm just trying to set you up here.
Okay.
That's all. So... you got anything, I don't know, coming up, say, the middle of June this year?
Well, I'm so glad you asked.
Yes. Because this is our second health update.
All right. So, I am unfortunately having to get my back and neck cut on.
Cut on.
And
we call it surgery.
Yeah. So neck and back surgery, which I currently, right now, presently, am in zero pain. I will be soon, though.
Because of the surgery?
Because of the surgery.
All right, and why do we have to have this surgery?
So, I have MS, and, you know, we thought that was one of the factors, but it wasn't. They wind up finding that I have some issues with my back, severe issues with my back, and I've got a lot of weakness on my right side.
So it's in other words, like your right hand and your right leg.
Right.
Sometimes they don't show up for the day.
Exactly. Exactly. And so this is hopefully going to remedy that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Do you know what that means, Jimmy?
What's that?
That you've got less pride than I do for sharing something like that.
Okay.
But wait, we're not going to end this right there. Jimmy, we have something to boost your spirits.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Surprise, next on Wretched.
You open a Bible to the very first line and you've already hit the claim the whole world wants to fight about. In the beginning, God created. Now, the skeptic knows that sentence is the hinge, so that's exactly where he pushes. Well, Dr. Jason Lyle meets him right there. His new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, is on Fortis Plus right now with a fresh episode every Monday. And Dr. Lyle goes back to that opening line and refuses to move past it. He shows that the universe could never have wandered into being on its own, and that the Genesis account is still standing long after the theories built to replace it have faded away. You get the first page right, and everything after it just makes sense. By the end of this series, you'll stop racing for the hard question and you'll start to welcome it. Watch Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle only on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Most of us haven't really thought about persecution, not the real kind, not the kind where following Jesus actually costs you something. But Christians throughout history have indeed faced it. And depending on where things are headed, we might too. So what does the Bible say you're supposed to do when the pressure mounts? That's exactly what our resource Persecution is all about. It's teaching built on the book of 1 Peter with historical context from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You'll get a biblical framework for faithfulness when things aren't easy anymore. Fix your hope on heaven, grow in holiness, and submit to authority. Unless they tell you to sin, and keep proclaiming the gospel anyway. This is honest teaching, and it's more timely than any of us may want to admit. Persecution, available now on Fortis Plus. Download the app for free on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Mediator. God is holy and cannot have fellowship with sinful men. But Jesus is both righteous man and holy God, and through him, we have direct access to God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
As Gomer Pyle once said, surprise, surprise. And he said it just like that. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I have to tell you, props to you for being so transparent. When you were diagnosed with the MS,
mm-hmm.
you weren't shy about it.
No.
You shared it.
Yep.
How come?
I've always been like that. I don't really have anything to hide.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't, these aren't both of these issues aren't really anything that I did to get. You know, I didn't ask for them. They just afflicted me. And
do you think MS has changed you?
Absolutely.
For the better or for the worse?
For the better.
Okay, just had to clarify.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. The things that you were saying about having a theology of suffering, I've lived there. I've lived it. I know when I first was diagnosed with MS, it was rough. It was hard. You know, you get down in the dumps. You don't want to be like, you know, why me? But eventually you realize, I guess at one point I realized that, you know, being depressed like this, I've got MS and depression. So there's no reason to, I can't change it. There's nothing I can do to turn around and go back and make it not be.
But your version of MS has caused some physical changes for you. Mm-hmm. You're probably not doing a lot of deadlifting these days.
No.
Which, by the way, could that have contributed to the back issues?
Possibly.
Uh-huh.
Possibly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So lifting all those heavy weights for all those years.
That's right.
Maybe wasn't so good for the, what is it called, where your thing goes through the dealy bob?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the medical term for it. Where your thing goes, it got...
through the spinal canal. Yeah.
It got goofed up.
It's, yeah.
Squeezing.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't send the signals down to where you need it, which would be your right side, your hand.
True.
And your leg.
That's right.
Yeah, those are kind of important for you. All right, so it's changed you physically a little bit, but spiritually, do you think when it comes to being sympathetic toward other people's health issues, has that been affected?
Absolutely, it has. It has for sure done that. And it's made me more aware of how reliant I am on the Lord. And it's just... I don't know how to explain it. It's hard to put into words sometimes, but, you know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, being prideful. I was probably the most prideful person in regards...
You know, maybe you were, because only a really prideful person would brag about how prideful they were, because you wanted to be the most prideful.
That's right.
Is so prideful, Jimmy.
I know it. But, you know, I was really good at, and you've never seen this, but I was really good at, I did live radio for 20 years. And just to do that at such a high level of being able to maintain what's going on. You don't realize.
There's a lot of stuff happening. Oh, a lot of buttons.
At one time, and then you're thinking through a lot. And at the same time, you've got someone on the phone that you continue to have a interesting conversation with. And I took pride in my ability to do that. And it's all gone now. That's all gone.
Oh, it is not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
The biggest way MS affected me is cognitively. So I couldn't do it at that level anymore. And that was, it was almost something like I mourned the loss of that. But I realize now what the Lord was doing. I can look back and see exactly what he was doing in my life. And as I've said before, I'm grateful for the MS.
All right. So perhaps less pride, more reliance on the Lord, mm-hmm. more sympathy for others.
Yep.
Okay, those are things that are, we so undervalue things like that because we have a very easy propensity to be very earthly minded. Those are the big things that you're more sympathetic. I mean, okay, which person would you rather hang out with? A millionaire who's a jerk or somebody who doesn't have enough food to feed a mouse, but they're sympathetic? They're kindly. You'd pick the latter, I think, every single day. And so does the Lord. His priorities are straight. Ours tend to be goofed up. We seek the lesser things. He wants the greater things for us. All right, so you're going under the knife.
Yes.
And hopefully that is going to allow you to your mobility and no tingling in your hands and in your legs.
Correct.
But it's not an easy one.
No, I don't think it's going to be an easy one, no.
No. So an encouragement, if you'd be so kind, to be praying for Jimmy as he prepares for this and as he goes through this and as he recovers from this. And we want to make sure that while we're thankful to doctors for their skills and abilities, when he's healthy, we'll give thanks to the Lord. Because that is just, medicine is just one of the tools the Lord uses for our good. Now, Jimmy, wanted to do something to encourage you.
Okay.
Got you a little present.
Okay.
And when I say little, I can't emphasize how little it is. Oh, no, the price tag is still on it. Okay, well, you're going to see how little it is.
It's not a new car? I can't drive it anyway.
I put a bag on your desk, and I told you you couldn't open it up. Right. Have you opened it up yet?
I will now.
Okay, give it an open and make sure you return that bag. That's what I was thinking. I think that's from Mike Fabares' church out in Orange County. All right. Well, I didn't wrap it. All right, what is it?
Oh, that's hilarious. It's a coffee cup. It's a huge coffee cup.
It's a massive coffee cup.
It says, thinking of my next dad joke.
That's it.
That is hilarious.
That is just for you now.
That is me.
You're never going to be able to fill that up with coffee and finish it before it's ice cold. But the point is, you're Mr. Dad joke.
I am.
All right, so what else did I ask you to do? What else is sitting on your desk immediately to your left?
Oh, that's my dad joke calendar.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
All right, Jimmy.
Oh, this
is maybe the greater gift.
You're going to let me tell a dad joke?
Go ahead, do a dad joke.
While I'm looking for a dad joke, when you were asking for prayers, I want to ask that everyone pray for you as well, because you're going to have to do the show without me. What do you say to a hitchhiker with one leg?
Oh, no. This is so politically incorrect already. Well, I don't know, Jimmy. What do you say to a hitchhiker with one leg?
Hop in. Oh,
that's so stupid. You get two more.
And two more. Why did the cookie cry?
Something crumbled. I don't know.
Because his father was wafer so long. That's hilarious.
Hop in was kind of cute.
That was funnier.
Wafer so long.
Oh, me. I wish you would have given me time. I would have given you some really good ones. I've got a list of them.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Okay, so you just said, oh, me, right?
Uh-huh.
Why not, oh, my?
I don't know.
Did you see the comments, by the way, on the video that we did on minced oaths?
I did not.
The word, a minced oath, if you're not familiar with it, is a word that sounds like something else, but it's not intended to be that, because if you use that word, it would be blasphemous. So instead of saying God, people say gosh. Instead of saying Jesus, you'll hear geez. I mean, where did that come from? When you ask the question, oh my goodness, where does it, that's a minced oath for oh my God. Hmm. Because why do we say, oh my goodness? I would ask you, okay, Jimmy, put your dad joke down for a minute. Okay. What does literally translate for me, oh my goodness? What does that mean?
It mean, yeah, oh my God.
No, I mean, let's just take it at face value. That somebody, in order to express surprise or disgust, they chose the word goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they choose that word? And the answer is they wouldn't have. they wouldn't have. It doesn't make any sense. It would be like saying, oh my color blindness.
Mm.
Like what? What does that have to do with? So it's clearly a word that is replacing a name for God. And when I brought that out about that silly pastor who put the pregnancy thing on his, when you put it simulates birth pains on your stomach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And for the Sunday service on Mother's Day. Then he's screaming in pain. He kept saying, OMG. And I pointed that out. Jimmy, you're going to be shocked at this. Not everybody agreed with me that those are minced oaths.
Mm-hmm.
But they are. I mean, why do we say geez? What is that? Why don't we say moo moo? Ah, moo moo. We don't. We used minced oaths. And in my estimation, they're terms of blasphemy. And if you give a listen for these expressions, they will regularly have a g, a j, or a k sound for God, for Jesus, or for Christ. All right, Jimmy, one more dad joke before you go under the knife.
Speaking of blasphemous.
Actually, you've got another week and then you go under the knife. So right. I'm going to be flying solo without you. Gabe Hughes is going to be doing the news for us, which is awesome.
Yep.
All right. So give us your dad joke to make you feel better about your upcoming operation.
What do you call a belt with a watch on it?
I don't know, Jimmy. What do you call a belt with a watch on it?
A waste of time. And until tomorrow.
Just in the nick of time. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.